Welcome back to Sisterhood Tea Party.
We are so glad you're here because today's episode, it's one that we needed just as much as you.
We are talking about feeling stuck again, and not just the obvious kind, but the quiet stuck, the foggy, unmotivated, the wait, who even am I right now? That kind of stuck.
This is actually part two of our most listened to episode ever. So clearly we're all in this season together.
And this time we're going deeper. We're sharing what our own ruts have looked like, what actually helped, and some things we've learned about getting your spark back without blowing up your whole life. But first, let's do a quick top of mind check-in.
Always. Because half the time, what's top of mind is exactly what's keeping it stuck. So what's top of mind for you, Jess?
Yeah, so top of mind for me is embracing my life this summer. I've made a lot of changes recently with work, and it has me just feeling really optimistic. I just kind of feel like when you're out of alignment, you just kind of notice when you start like dwelling, and you know, we're going to talk more about this today, but just like that feeling of just like only focusing on the negative and things like that. And now I'm in a space where I'm just feeling really good about some of these things now, and I feel like a weight is off my chest, and I can kind of look into other areas of the future and excitement and stuff. And for me, it's just kind of like a reminder of, we've talked about this on the podcast before, but you're just in seasons or you're in your eras, and sometimes you feel like you're not moving forward, and then all of a sudden one day you're like, oh no, but I am moving forward, and like things are bright again. And I don't know, that's just kind of how I'm feeling. And then also maybe it's the sun is out, you know, and it's summertime and all the things. So I'm very excited about summertime.
I love it. I love it. And honestly, I know, first of all, summertime, hell yes. Second of all, I love that you are making these shifts because it's going to put you in a place where it's going to elevate your ideal self, your like that girl energy. And I feel like this is a good, you're positioning yourself in a way where you can only go up from here. So I'm excited for you.
Thanks, girl. I'm very excited. Yeah, I agree. It's like, and also I think for a while it was a little bit like, oh, if it's not the perfect thing, like you start looking at the end state and you're like, if it's not that, then it's not there. But actually this now opens up my brain space to be thinking about all these other things I'm excited about. So I know I'm being a little cryptic because I can't always talk about all work things on the podcast, but I'm just very excited and I'm feeling optimistic. But what is top of mind for you?
You know, it's the mystery that keeps everybody hooked. So
yes,
keep doing it. But for me, so I think I've shared a little bit about this, but you know, I've had some unexpected changes, you know, in my own line of work, but you know, I'm in a place now where I feel like my next step is going to lead me to a place where I can elevate, be able to grow, and be able to be exactly where I want to be. So for right now, I do have a lot more clarity about what's to come. So again, you know, it can be hard, you know, these days where it can be challenging for me, and I kind of question, you know, what's going on, where am I going to be led to? But I know in the very end, like I'm going to be in a place where it's all going to work out for the better.
I love that. Isn't it so funny that like, when we were younger, at least for me, I'm sure you're the same way, but like, we were like, oh, you go to school, then you get the job, and then you climb the ladder at your job and you're set for life. And now, I don't know. I just feel like I've already lived 5 different careers, and you know what I mean? And like, all these things and all the goals changed, and like, you're never there at some destination. And so there's always these ebbs and flows of, oh God, what am I doing? Oh God, where's it going to land? And then like you said, it works out in the end. It's just not always what you exactly envisioned.
Exactly. It's so interesting because I wish I could just tell my younger self like, hey, you're going to be going through some one heck of a roller coaster, but you're going to be okay. It's going to be fine. And, you know, when we went to school, it was so different for us versus how it is now. Like things have changed. There's so much going on in the world. Like it's just not the way that it used to be. So I feel like setting that expectation of like, this is how it's going to be, know that, have the flexibility to know that you might be in one place or another.
Yeah. I also saw something on Instagram today that was like, it was, you know, like just like a graphic. And it said something about like the things that you did 10 years ago set you up for where you are today. And I was like, okay, where was I 10 years ago? What was I doing? I was like, I was in the thick of grad school. And if that version of me saw where I was now, and it is because of the things that she was doing that I am here, and saw what my goals are now, she'd be like, girl, where did those come from? Like everything, so much has changed, you know? And it's like, I'm such a different person, but it is that I am here because of what I did then. And so then I like get excited where I'm like, ooh, what is 10 years from now person going to be doing and like thinking about this version of me? And I don't know, it's just kind of a fun thing to think about.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Okay, well, I already feel the vibe shift, so let's get into it.
Fine, let's go there. Because talking about it openly is how we take the shame out of it.
When were you most recently in a rut, and what did it feel like for you?
So for me, I'll talk about this again. It was really recently when I was laid off from my job. It wasn't just the loss of the position, it was the emotional and mental toll that it took. In the very beginning, I had processed it and I was crying, I was very upset, I was angry, all of these things. And I just felt stuck after that for a while because I didn't really know what was going to be next. I have a lot of experience, I'm very good at what I do, but I found myself questioning my value and what I wanted to do next. I don't know, it was just a weird combination of feeling lost, but also knowing that I had to push myself to break through it.
Yeah. For me, it was when I realized that I was like only focusing on what I was lacking. I was like, oh, I'm in a rut. I was like feeling frustrated about my progress on things I was working on. I was not excited to do the things that I typically was excited to do every day. And I just felt like I was starting to like question every decision I've ever made to get here. Like, did I do anything right? And like, how did I get here?
Yeah, and I feel like, sometimes that's what makes it so hard, right? When you're in it, you don't necessarily know how to get out of it because it's just everything just feels off. And it's like, where do I go from here? Like, what's happening?
Yeah, agreed. So let's break it down because sometimes we're stuck and we don't even realize it when we're in that mindset. And so here are just kind of some signs that we put together that we've noticed kind of highlight that, hey, if this is happening, you might be in a rut. So the first is you keep saying, I'm just tired. But you're just tired every single day. If you're never feeling rested, if you are feeling tired every single day, something's off. That's not normal. And I think it's so important to call that out too, because we're millennials and we grew up in that hustle culture, right? You go, 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 go. It's like a prize to feel tired. But if you're feeling tired every day, you're probably in a rut.
Absolutely. And leading into that, you stop dreaming, you stop planning, and straight up, you stop caring. And I know that really hit me hard, thinking about previous roles that I'd had where I was truly going through the motions. And there would be points where I'd be like, I don't care. I don't, someone asked me that. I'm like, meh, I'll get to it. Or I'm like, oh, I don't really care about this. I don't care about that. Doesn't really matter. Like I found myself being so negative and not, I was not forward thinking in that moment. And I knew I was like, I'm really feeling a little bit stuck here.
Another sign is you default to scrolling instead of reaching out to anyone. It's one thing to just like one day be like we just talked about, like be exhausted and you're like, oh, I'm gonna like, I don't feel like talking to anyone. I don't feel like answering texts today. And that's fine. But like, if that's like your default at this point is like, you don't want to talk to people, you're isolating yourself, you're just doom scrolling constantly. It's like, oof. Every once in a while, I'll even like, if I feel like I'm in a rut, I'll go and I'll check my time, like time spent on the iPhone for like the different apps. And I'm like, ooh, it's a little high. That might be signaling something. I need to set some limits for the next week to just kind of reset myself.
Absolutely. I caught myself in the past where, I mean, I've had the limits and it says you've hit your limit for whatever app it is. And I'm like, ignore for today. And I'm like, oh, maybe I need to reevaluate because why am I doing that? I feel like I'm avoiding everything and I'm not making things happen. And that leads into you feel like everything you do is a to-do list item, not a choice. So if I'm sitting here and I'm like, well, I have to do this and that and this and that, and knowing that like a lot of these things, you want to be able to do it, you want to have that excitement behind it, and you're just like, I'm just checking a box to get it over with, that's a pretty clear sign that you're in a rut. It
Yeah,
just it's really hard.
I feel like too, the thing about the whole like it's a choice thing too that I think is so interesting is it's not even just like a I'm so grateful for like, like there's like the corny version of that of like you should be grateful to wake up every day. It's like no, like literally if you're not excited for one thing that you're doing in the morning or during the day, like that is a sign. Like, yeah, you should be grateful for every day, but that comes with like also just doing things that you're excited about. There's like other part of that, but just like if you really truly dread it, I agree. It's like something's off.
Yeah, exactly. Or straight up, you're just disengaged. You're there, you're present, but you're not really in it. And that's the sneaky kind of stuck. And that's the stuck that I mean, admittedly, I've been in as well where I'm like, yeah, I've shown up, but like, I'm not really all about this. At first, I'm like, you know, I'm just, and I would go, I'm like in this circle of like, oh yeah, I'm tired. Oh, this is this. And like, I wasn't addressing the true fact that like, no, like there's something up here and we need to address it and fix it.
Yeah. And so if you're listening right now and you're thinking, wait, that's me, you're not alone. Obviously, we've both been there a lot. And so, yeah.
Exactly. So we're going to dive right into the good stuff. So what's actually helped us get unstuck without pretending everything is fine?
Yes, we put together these little mini toolkits of like our list of things. So here's mine. So one, I think, is like radical honesty with myself. Like when we were talking about before, like, oh, what are all the decisions that led me here? Like, ooh, let's actually unpack that a little bit. What is it? And usually that radical honesty comes with both some positive reflections of like, no, I made some choices that did get me here, even though I'm not feeling good. Like, I felt like I'm a failure. And I think that's an important part of it. And then the other side of that radical honesty, I think, is like, ooh, what am I doing that's keeping me here in this rut? You know, maybe I'm not taking care of myself. Like, what are those things? And the second part of that to me is figuring out my fears. I have found in moments where I'm in a rut, it's usually I'm afraid to take whatever that next step is. And so to me, it's like really evaluating, what am I afraid of? Is it, you know, a financial risk? Is it a failure risk? Is it, you know, a rejection risk? What is it? And I think that's important to unpack. The other thing I think is romanticizing routines. We talked about this a lot. I post about this a lot on TikTok. I love a good routine and I try to romanticize it. I'm like, ooh, Saturday, let's go to yoga, sweet treat, bookshop. Let's like make it a whole vibe. Let's do a skincare that night, like over the top. What can I do to romanticize it? And then the last thing I think is like really telling the messy truth to a friend. It is so healing. We had a little girls group chat Zoom meeting last night that was like
We
so
did.
healing for me. I loved it. You know, there have been times where I'm like really in a rut and then like go visit a friend and I'm like, oh, I needed to get it out. Even though we didn't like solve any specific thing, there's just something about that girlhood moment, you know?
Yes, I was gonna say, because it just popped into my mind, you've seen that TikTok town or whatever, the trend that's like, I wasn't sad, I just needed whatever, and it's
Yes.
to see my best friend, or I just needed, you know, to do this. And that's what that reminded me of. I love it.
Yes, exactly. It's so true though, right? Like sometimes you just need to talk it out and not even sometimes you're not even talking about the thing that you this like pinpointing it, but there's something about that girlhood moment of just being around a friend that helps. So yeah, that's my little toolkit.
I agree.
What's
I
yours?
think, yeah, I love that. And one more thing to that is it's so important to surround yourself with friends that you can feel comfortable sharing the tough, uncomfortable truths, because I feel like that does, you know, open up the ability for you to grow in that friendship and have that. So I love that that is, you know, that's part of it. So for my toolkit is moving my body. And y'all know I talk about this all the time. You know, I go on walks, I'm in the gym, I teach spin classes, just ways to get out of just sitting at home and not doing anything. It has done wonders for my mental health, and it has definitely helped in getting out of, you know, any rut or anything that I've been in. Also setting small achievable goals. So really the idea of getting unstuck feels overwhelming. We all know this. So I try to break it down by making things small. So I take large tasks and make them into bite-size achievable goals. And that has really helped me, you know, tackle whatever I have going on at the moment. Also, for me, it's important to practice gratitude. So I do remind myself to kind of focus on the things that I'm very grateful for. So as we've talked about, you know, it is easy to kind of get stuck in those negative moments, but, you know, shifting, you know, my focus to the positive, even those smaller things, it can change my perspective and it does make me feel better. And then last is embracing failure. I think this is also important because failure doesn't mean that you're stuck forever, okay? You know, failure means that you're growing, you're learning, you're changing, all of these different things. So for me, when I'm embracing that mindset, it really helps me get unstuck because I stop looking at failure as like something to fear, and I start using it as a stepping stone to lead me to something better.
I love that. It's like it's not failure, but it's lessons. And I also try to look at, you know, when I look up to super successful people and things like that, and I think especially for us in our 30s too, right? Like you sometimes you feel like you're like running out of time and oh God, I'm failing because I'm not here yet and stuff, but I'm okay. A lot of really successful people didn't start until their 30s, you know, and this idea that you're running out of time or that like you failed because you're not where you necessarily want to be is a myth, in my opinion. My favorite one I keep seeing lately is like, oh, if you're 33, then you're in season one of Sex and the City. And I'm like, yes, please.
You know, my favorite. I have still not seen that.
It was my favorite. So I have never watched it like end to end, but I used to just like obsess over like reruns of it. And I love it so much. I think that's why I feel so called to New York, because I've always envisioned that one day that like I'm living in Sex and the City.
Yeah, I mean, I'll watch it one day. I just have never felt, you know, led to watch it. So maybe one day I will.
One day you will have to. Well, I love your toolkit, and I think it's a good reminder of the fact that rest is the strategy. You don't have to earn rest. Sometimes your body, when you're feeling stuck, is just trying to whisper to you something that your mind is ignoring. And so rest overall feels like the theme here to keep in mind.
Absolutely. So let's talk about what we're doing right now, like real time, to keep ourselves out of that stuck space. So for me, no pressure mornings. And that's real easy when you're unemployed. But it's been really nice, instead of getting up at 4:30 a.m. for my workouts, I'm now getting up at 7:30. And some of you are like, that's still early. And I'm like, yeah, but that's late in like my mind. So I'm getting up and, you know, slowly starting the day and getting up and getting ready and just kind of easing into, you know, starting my routine. So it's been really, really nice to stay out of that, you know, stuck space. It's still keeping a routine, but modifying it in a sense.
Okay, wait, what's your morning routine look like? You get up at 7:30. What do you do?
Yeah, so I get up at 7:30 and I actually now make tea in the morning too. So I do like my tea in the morning and at night. So I do a morning tea and I just like chill, honestly. And I'm like, all right, now I'm ready to like work out. So I usually leave the house around 8-ish, go and work out, come back, and then take a shower and then look at my to-do list for the day. And I say to-do list in the sense of, because I'm in a state of fun employment is what I'm calling it. In a state of fun employment, I still want to stay organized. I still want to keep a level of a daily routine. And of course, my night routine is the same, you know, with skincare and all of that. But during the day, it looks different, whether I'm applying for jobs or have interviews or whatever that looks like. But I don't want to be in a place where I'm just like, well, I don't know what I'm doing. So I do have some level of structure. But then, as we mentioned, some days I'm like, I just need to rest. Like this, it's exhausting to hunt for jobs, especially when you are in a place where you don't have one right now. So my routine varies from day to day, but I still keep a level of structure just to keep things going and keep me out of an unstuck place.
Yeah. But you have that morning ritual of like your tea, your workout, you're doing something that makes you feel good before all that, which I love. I love. Question, are you a coffee drinker at all?
So,
or you just do tea?
I do enjoy coffee. Sometimes I will, part of my routine is, you know, I'll still do my tea in the morning. And it's, if I'm planning to drink coffee, then I'll make sure it's like a decaf tea. And then I'll go to the gym, whatever, and I'll come home, get ready. And then I'll go sit at a coffee shop and grab myself a cute latte or just like a plain coffee, like depending on what my mood is that day, and then do that. So yeah, I do enjoy some coffee for sure.
Nice. I ask because I know you're a tea drinker, but tea is like my evening routine. So it's like, I feel like if I drank that in the morning, I would want to go straight to bed. But so I was just curious if you drink coffee, because
which is why I do the decaf, because I know that if I'm going to be drinking coffee, I do not need to be hyped up on caffeine.
Fair. I love it. I love a no pressure morning. Mm-hmm. Okay. So another way to get unstuck is creative solo dates. So I have made it my mission every weekend that I'm in town, on either Saturday or Sunday, I'm having like solo time. I call it my wellness days, where I'm basically having a bunch of stuff for myself. So like usually I'll go to do like, so like last weekend, for example, I went and did yoga first thing in the morning. And then after yoga, I got myself my little sweet latte and I was, you know, vibing in the car with like the sunroof out, you know, whatever, just vibing. And then I came home and I showered and then I went and I got my nails done. Love, little pampering session. And then I came home and I ate and then I went and I got a massage. So I was like, it was like a hey to my husband in between things, you know, when I stopped back at the house, but I was like, gotta go. Like it was my day, you know? And so and the next day I hung out with him, but that was all my day. And I love it. And I think it's so important to have those days where it doesn't always have to be wellness stuff, but you're just doing something for yourself, by yourself. It doesn't even have to be an all day thing, but just something, you know, and it can just make you feel good. And if it is wellness, it makes you feel even better, in my opinion. So I try to do something like that every weekend, either on Saturday or Sunday, depending on like what I have going on that weekend.
And you mentioned it's more wellness focused, but are you doing also like taking yourself out to lunch or doing like a breakfast date at a coffee shop or something like that, or going to a bookstore or whatever?
Yeah. So sometimes I will. So like there's this really cute bookstore near my yoga studio and it's called Books Are Awesome. And so I'll stop in there sometimes and look. I'm trying to save money right now. So I'm trying not to do too much shopping stuff, but I meant to go last weekend and I ran out of time on my solo day, but Bath and Body Works was doing their Mother's Day sale and I was like, I need to get in there. And then I ran out of time. So I just need to order online. But yeah, I'll do things like that as well. So it just kind of depends. I always try to have a wellness component in it because I love that. And sometimes I don't always have time during the week every single day. So I'd like to prioritize that on the weekends, but yeah, it varies each weekend.
Oh yeah. You know, I love a good solo day. I mean, I've talked about my, you know, one weekend a month where I have just no obligations. And so I will use those as my solo dates, whether I like, you know, workout, wellness, dinner, lunch, whatever. It's just something like that. So I like that a lot.
Love it.
So for me, mood playlists, and y'all know, I love a good playlist. I love a good playlist, you know. Part of what I do for spin classes is create vibes and create just the energy that I want to convey that day. So a mood playlist is a great way to kind of get yourself in a place where you're like, you know what, I'm feeling like I want songs that I can sing in the shower, or I really want songs that are just, you know, in my romanticizing my life era, choosing songs that kind of like vibe with that. So, and then for me, you know, I'm making playlists for spin classes. So some days I'm like, I want some throw that ass in a circle vibe. And some days I just want like EDM. So it just depends, you know, week by week, it varies and everybody loves it. So I think get creative. I was going to also say one of my other friends, she makes monthly playlists based on what she's listening to. So she has, right now she has a May playlist and it's just a dump of all of her songs that she's been loving lately. And it's a great way to kind of like settle in for that month. And then you choose, you know, choose new songs or do whatever you want for the next month, which I thought was pretty cool.
I love that. I feel like you should create content about your playlist.
I know. You know what's funny? You know what's funny is, so I was scrolling through TikTok as one does, and I saw a creator do something very similar to like sharing what's on her playlist. And I'm like, I literally can do that. Why am I not?
You should. You totally should.
Stay tuned, friends. I will be doing like a Turn Up Tuesday situation. You heard it here first. I'll be doing a Turn Up Tuesday and I'll just be sharing my playlist from the week or something.
Yeah, we also need to get our sisterhood playlist started. Maybe we will by the time this episode drops. But we talked about it in our episode that just released and we need to get that probably up and going as well.
I always love when they release because it's like, oop, reminder.
Reminder, we said we were going to do that thing.
Whoops. Okay, so it will definitely be out before this episode drops. Mark my words, friends.
Or we're going to clip this. This is going to be the reel that we post and you all can shame us in the comments if we don't have it out by now.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay, so another way to get unstuck is weekly check-ins just for you. And I like to time block these. I usually try to do this. Honestly, I do them more at the beginning of the week, but depending on where I'm at, if I am in a real rut, then I try to honestly do more of these throughout the week. But like, it's a time to just reflect on how am I feeling. Some of these check-ins, I'll make them very meditative where I'm like, no, I need to do some kind of meditative self-reflection and feel what's going on in my body and just give myself that time. And sometimes they're more productive where I'm like, okay, cool. Let's check in on what goals I'm working on this week. Let's check in on how did I do last week? And, you know, what are the tasks that I need to do to get me to that bigger thing I'm working on. So it kind of varies week to week, but either way, just having that time for yourself, I think is really important for getting out of that feeling of being stuck.
Are you keeping track of this anywhere? Are you writing it in a journal? Are you keeping on your laptop? Like, how are you kind of assessing week? Like,
That's a good question. So I have basically a whiteboard up on my wall and on it lists my current 3-month goals and my next 3-month goals. And then I have my yearly goals. And so Those obviously remain fairly consistent over time. Then I have a section that's this week's goals, and that's when I'm doing goal setting stuff. That's where I write that stuff down. And then I also have some affirmations there. Like I do affirmation cards and I do meditations, but these are like things that I know are kind of my ongoing blockers that I need to constantly hear that stay consistent. So once I've checked off this week's goals, I don't keep track of them. They're gone. I'm just moving on to the next. I don't really keep track. It's a good point though. I wonder if I should. And then other than that, I have a, I'm so type A about this. I have a Google Doc that is all of my, all the activities and work that I did that got me to my, what am I doing by the end of the year goals thing. Mm-hmm. And that ladders up to a 5-year goal plan. And so that's like, so like the stuff I look at every day isn't the big, big, big picture. It's like a little bit more tactical. And that's the stuff I'm kind of working through each week. And then when it's time to sit down, once I, every 3 months, basically, I sit down with that bigger plan and make sure everything's like still what I want it to be kind of thing. And I won't lie, I'm a month behind right now. We're in May and right now it still lists my February through April goals and I need to like reset. But yeah, that's kind of how I do it. So once it's gone, it's gone. And when it's more like my feeling stuff I was talking about, like my meditation and stuff, I don't like write that stuff down. That's like, I go through Insight Timer and I'm like, oh, what do I need right now? And I like find the meditation that I need.
Okay. That makes sense. So friends, these are the things that we don't always do perfectly, but they are the breadcrumbs that bring us back to ourselves. So with that being said, we've been in our feelings, okay? We're now going to end on a lighter note with a quick game of overrated or underrated, rut edition. So y'all know the drill. I'm going to read off a few things and we're just going to talk about whether they're overrated or underrated, okay? Starting with the first one, bubble baths. Jess, overrated or underrated?
Overrated, and I feel so strongly about it.
Set up, I was like, oh yeah, like I'm like, she's gonna say underrated. I was not ready for that. Okay, please explain. I would love
okay
to
if you guys don't already know, I have a bathroom phobia. And what does that mean? What is a bathroom phobia? Let me tell you the levels of my anxiety. Let me unpack it here for you all. Okay, I hate bathrooms, and not in the like, ew, public bathrooms are gross way, as in like, I cannot clean my own bathroom, okay? Now we have someone who comes to our house and cleans, which is great. But before that, my husband had to be in charge of that, okay? Like, I will tell you right now, I used to work at Hastings back in the day. If I was on bathroom cleaning duty, I will tell you that bathroom did not get cleaned because you could not pay me enough money to clean that bathroom because I have severe anxiety, okay? When I was a freshman in college and I lived in the dorms, I showered in that dorm bathroom once my entire freshman year, okay? I went to my friends' houses to shower because I had such bad anxiety and I trusted their clean bathrooms, okay? I have very bad bathroom anxiety. So for me, the idea of sitting in the grime of a tub when I don't even want to touch, like if I'm getting in, I'm like barely touching the shower curtain. I have like doors now, which is great. But if when I stay at people's houses, I get anxiety and it's never a reflection of the person. It's always a reflection of me. I just have anxiety about it. It's crazy. I know. I know we shouldn't use the word crazy, but it's about myself. So it's who I am. And I will never take a bubble bath. I will say the last time I took a bath was when I was in Shanghai and I was at the Edition Hotel and there was a seamless tub and it was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. It wasn't touching anything. It was a standalone tub. And I said, you know what? This might be the only tub in the world that I feel comfortable taking a bath in. Let me try it. And I was in it and it was okay for maybe like 2 minutes and then I felt too much anxiety and I got out. So bubble baths are overrated and I'm so sorry for all my drama.
I was not prepared for that. I do remember you mentioning your bathroom phobia. I actually think we talked about this on an episode. I think Morgan was on the podcast and
yes,
we talked about this and I forgot about it until this very moment. So if you don't want to dive into it, you don't have to, but like what happened?
Okay, so let's go back to my history. No, I honestly don't know. The earliest memories that I have of this was when I was in high school. I was living with my grandma and it was the first time, so I'd moved out of my parents' house And I had a bathroom all to myself. And I think that's when I started to feel like I don't want to touch anything in a bathroom. Like I started to develop that anxiety. I also have OCD. And so, like, I think my anxiety in general was spiking at the time. And so some of these things were starting to happen. Interestingly enough, my sister also has a bathroom phobia. And so I don't know, like part of me is like a little guilty, like, oh God, did I like project that on her? Because she's 10 years younger than me. I'm like, did she get this from me? You know, like was this, you know, she saw me, did, I don't know. But I will say I have noticed as I've gotten older and I have my own place, you know, and like, you know, I'm not living in like a college place, you know, kind of stuff. Now, like it's not as bad as it used to be. I still not take the bath, obviously, but like especially compared to my sister, and I see her anxiety with it now is much higher than mine is now. And so I'm like, okay, like I can tell the levels of I used to be in the same place she's at with it, you know? And so yeah, I don't really, there's
Wow.
nothing I could pinpoint that caused it, but like just the earliest memories I have of it was like in high school where I started to really feel it, and ever since.
Wow, that was a lot. I appreciate you sharing that. I didn't know the degree of your phobia, but I will now keep that in mind when we go to Cowboy Carter in the hotel.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I will request the bed that's furthest away from the bathroom in the hotel room.
I think we're actually in a suite, so it'll be separate. It'll
Oh,
be just, I think it's the
brilliant.
rooms, and then there's, yeah. So I think we'll double check, but don't worry.
Love, love. Okay, cool. Okay, how do you feel about bubble baths?
I think they're appropriately rated. I do love a good bubble bath. I do love, specifically if it's an Epsom salt bath and I can soak in there after, as I'm sitting here, I'm like super sore from the gym. And after this, I probably will go take a little soak in there. But I think they're appropriately rated. I wouldn't say that they're like the best thing in the entire world, but I don't have the phobia like you to be like it's overrated. But I think they're appropriately rated.
That's fair. That's fair. I think you're normal in that. And, you know, not that I will say I made a TikTok about this one time and I still randomly get people commenting like, oh my God, like I thought I was the only one who felt this way. And so I probably need to make some more content about this because I know I'm not the only person out there, but it is a rare thing. It's other than like apparently my sister has it too, which is weird, but like I don't, it's obviously not something common. I don't know anyone else other than us two personally that have it.
I don't either. But if anybody listening out there does also have a bathroom phobia, please let us know. DM us.
DMS, let's chat.
All right. Journaling, overrated or underrated? It's underrated. We love journaling. It's a good way to express your thoughts, get what you need out. Like I've mentioned this numerous times. I have a 5-minute journal, has been probably one of the best things that I've bought for myself just in my whole journey. And it has been really beneficial to me to just to map out my own goals, what my intentions are, what I see for myself. So yeah, I'm a big, advocate for journaling. What about you?
I agree, underrated. I've talked about this before. I don't do it consistently, but like it's a really good way when you are, especially like we just talked about being in a rut, to like, oh, I just need to get like all my thoughts out. It's kind of like we talked about like when you get with your friends and you're like, I just need to get it all out. Sometimes you just need to do that for yourself too. And I think that's great. I was gonna ask you how the 5-minute journal was going. And I will say too, like we posted a clip on TikTok recently and like a reel of the 5-minute journal of you talking about it. And I tried to link to the 5-minute journal because I know it's like sold on TikTok shop, but we don't have permission to like, we don't have enough followers yet to like link that. So we need help,
Oh,
guys, get our follower game up so we can link to
let's
the
get it
5-minute
up.
journal.
Dang, that's
Yeah.
okay. But yes, I would highly recommend looking at the 5-minute journal. It's only, at least on Amazon, it was like $10, something like that when I bought it. So
Yeah,
it's
love
not
it.
bad.
Love it.
Okay. Vision boards. Overrated or underrated? Am I taking this one?
You can go for it.
Okay. I would say that they are underrated. I think they're good. Like I think I've also mentioned this as well. I have a vision board on my phone. So I don't have a physical vision board. And I think it, depending on however you like to visualize it, having one, whether it's a physical one, like an actual board or something on your phone or something that's on your, laptop, I think is ideal. But it does keep me in check of, what I want and what I'm desiring for this year. So I'm all about it. What about
I
you?
love it. Agree completely. It's super underrated. I just recently made a vision board and put it on my phone background as well, literally last week. Mine's not my goals vision. It's more of like I'm working on some branding stuff, and so it was my brand vision, and I just wanted to keep a reminder. But yeah, I love a good visualization of anything. And sometimes it's a big vision of long term. Sometimes it's, hey, how do I want this one project to look and feel and, you know, all the vibes for it, and make a mini board for that. That's what I'm trying to do now with more of my stuff. So big fan, super underrated.
Love it. I love it. Next, solo trips, overrated or underrated? What do you think?
Super underrated. Okay. If I had not gone on solo trips, let's talk about the things I would not have done in my life. Okay. I wouldn't have seen a Banksy in New York. Okay. I would not have gotten into a vampire speakeasy in New Orleans. Okay. That wouldn't have happened. And I would not have seen Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. Okay. So go do the solo stuff, because magical things happen when you take solo trips that you just like don't even anticipate. So do it.
I agree. Super underrated. I think it's so important to, you don't have to wait for anybody. You don't need to wait for your friends. You don't need to wait for anybody to just take the trip and have that experience. I think it's so worth it to just up and go, especially if you don't have anything holding you back right now. I say take advantage of the time that you can and do the solo trip. So I'm all about it. 100% underrated.
Yes, love it.
Okay, last, changing your hair. Overrated or underrated? I'm going to take this one first. I do love a good hair change, so it's underrated. In fact, I have a hair appointment next week. So I'm trying to think about this. You're going to see my hair. I don't know. It's the way that this is going to drop. You'll see it and then it's going to drop. It'll be gone, because the next hair I have will be for Beyonce. So you're going to see it next week or 2 weeks from now. And I'm excited. I love switching up my hair. It just gives me so much joy. It's one of the things that brings me joy. I can go in, tell my friend / hairstylist, I'm like, this is the vibe that I want. And she's like, I got you. Get in this chair and let's go. And I was like, yes. So I'm very excited about this hairstyle. It's very simple. This is like my pre-Beyonce hair. And then Beyonce hair will come right after. So it's going to be a quick turnaround, but I'm all about it.
I cannot wait to see it. And I could not agree more. Super underrated. Love changing my hair. In fact, I have to often hold myself back because my hairstylist is like, girl, we just got you to blonde. Now you want to go dark again? Or like, girl, you just got dark. You can't just go back to blonde because you're going to fry your hair off. And so it's kind of like a running joke. Every time I go in there, she's like, okay, what's your plan? And anytime I'm like, I actually just kind of want to stay the same, she's like, oh, thank goodness. So she might be listening to this and she'll be laughing and be like, yeah, you're totally right. But yeah, I love changing my hair. I will say that, like, as I've gotten older, I don't go as crazy as I used to when I was young. But like, most of that is because maintenance, honestly. Like, do you remember when I had like bright red hair?
Yeah, I absolutely do.
I miss that every single day. But the maintenance of that is so crazy that I realistically we'll probably never go back to it unless I literally become a millionaire and can afford to have a stylist in my house every week. You know what I mean? But like,
yes, ugh. I do. You know, you should just find a wig and do that. You know what I mean?
I know. So here's the thing about, maybe I would get better at it over time about putting wigs on, but like, that was the thing about my red hair. It wasn't so much keeping it red, because I found the perfect products to keep it red. And that's like one part of the upkeep. It was, I didn't like it unless I had my extensions in. And it took time every day to put my extensions in. And I feel like a wig would feel the same way. And so that's honestly the upkeep of it, is like, because I have thin hair and it would just look a little too punk rock. Like, I like the full, you know, curls going. So maybe one day. I hope one day. I hope I'm a millionaire one day and like I can have a stylist at my house.
We speak that into existence. So yes, yes.
Once the pod hits it big, you know?
Exactly. All right, friends, that is a wrap for today. But before we go, if you're feeling stuck right now, you are not alone and you are not broken.
We hope this conversation gave you permission to pause, reset, and remember that even stuck seasons do have meaning.
Make sure to follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at Sisterhood Tea Party so you don't miss any future episodes.
And if this hit home, send it to someone else who also might need it. That's how we grow the sisterhood.
Yes. And now for the last drop of tea.
You don't need to become a new person. You just need to remember who you are.
And sometimes the only step you need to take today is a breath. Bye, friends.
Bye.